is the Tom Likas Show.
I like the cut of your jib.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
Look at you.
Don't be stupid.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. You can hear our show on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. It's you. It's me. It's this microphone. It's this big telephone over here. It's the three guys who work with me. And in this studio, of course, every week at this time, if you're listening live, it's another visit from our friend doing the jerk-off motion there as I'm introducing him.
My new attorney.
There you go.
Love this guy.
He is the he is the hammer himself, Adam Sachs, here in the studio. Always good to see you, Adam.
Hey. Well, I was sitting here talking about disruptive changes in technology and so forth, Tom.
Or just disruptors in general. It doesn't even have to be technology. There's people who are, like, getting into the room and fucking with the natural order of things.
There's no doubt.
And now you see yourself as a disruptor.
Yeah, I certainly do. And by the way, there's got to be one small note here that there's, I think, three Teslas parked behind the building here.
Yes, because you're here, I'm here, and Dana Brunetti has a Tesla as well. So everybody drives a Model S. You have two.
I have the Roadster as well.
Oh, you have the Roadster. Because you've been doing this for a while.
No, I bought it after the fact. I like the Model S so much.
Wow. I don't have a Roadster, but if I was going to guess without, you know, having spoken to Dana before what car he was going to have, I would have guessed that that would have been it. And it's so beautiful to see that, like, even what you were saying, Tom, you're talking about how, like, the taxi companies are fighting Uber and New Jersey's fighting Tesla or whatever. In some way, seeing the old order hanging on with its fingernails while it's, you know, slowly being withered away by the new technology, I think that's a beautiful thing. I really do. I don't know how else it could be.
I don't feel bad for the old order. I don't.
No, but I love seeing what they do. It's so cute. You know, it's so adorable that the taxi companies are coming, or the Automobile Dealers Association is suing Arizona.
I just want to say, I have a message for the people at Beverly Hills Taxi, or Beverly Hills Cab. I want to name them specifically, okay? The years of calling you and having you say you'll be here in 15 or 20 minutes, and then 25 minutes later calling you and saying you'll be there in another 15 or 20 minutes, they're over, okay?
That's a beautiful thing.
The flights I've missed, the times I got up in the morning and waited for the cab that never came, you are fucked, and I couldn't be happier. I just wanted to say that to the folks at Beverly Hills Cab. Yeah, wow. I used you for years. But I'm done. I'm over.
I didn't have the worst experiences with car dealers. It wasn't so bad. But when I went online and ordered the Tesla through the internet, sitting in my jammies at 1 a.m, and that was a revelation.
Right.
And obviously what you're doing with the new normal, which I've been a part of with you for a long time, you know, what we're doing, and you see this where I think there was an attempt by particularly Robert Shapiro to make this fill out the forms yourself stuff, you know, and then we make fun of that sometimes, the UPS divorce or whatever. But at the same time, I really feel, and this was funny because Dana was just saying this, we were talking about the lawyer from Breaking Bad, who
yes.
Better Call Saul. I identify with him in some ways. I think he was really cool. He was quite corrupt and ultimately destroyed himself, so we'll leave that part. But
well, we're watching a prequel, and we don't know that.
Well, yeah, better call Saul.
Well, I know where it leads. He's not yet. He tries to do the right thing.
He does it. Yeah, yeah. That's how he is in the beginning.
Yeah,
you haven't seen the prequel.
Well, we see him as a young lawyer, and he's before law school even.
Looks very much like you.
Oh, geez, all right. I'll have to watch out for that. But no, I have people tease me about that. But you know, when I visualize, and this is my experience, I think when I was younger. You know, like you go to a doctor and it's very, you know, conventional, and you have a 9:15 appointment, and then he's got someone at 9:30 and 9:45, and, you know, lawyers, I think, were very much like that. And you were talking last week with me, Tom, about that lawyer you had in Florida.
Yes.
Who you described, by all means, as a very good lawer.
I showed you a photo of him.
Yes, we just saw that. He's still out there alive.
He's still out there. Yes.
I'm very happy to hear it. And he certainly gave you good advice and did a good service for you.
He did. It was worth every penny I paid.
The context of, and I do have an office. I have two, actually. But the idea of me sitting in my office waiting for my 10 o'clock to arrive, and then the secretary sort of ushers the person in, and then I got to kind of talk fast because I got to get them out by 10:15 for my next appointment, that has never occurred to me. And I've always been on the run and on the phone, and I tell my clients, you know, okay, what's going on? You want to meet me in court in 2 hours, or where are you? Oh, you're in Glendale. I'm in Glendale. I'll meet you at a cafe or whatever, or we'll just talk on the phone, or you send me a fax, and I'll do it that way. And as much as I reject, let's say, the Shapiro thing where the person does it themselves without a lawyer, which I think is suicide, you definitely see how things are disrupted. And that was always the thing where the nimble company, like, you know, it's hard to imagine it now because Apple, for example, is so huge. But Apple at one time was the nimble small company that was coming up with the mouse and with the graphic interface. And then the big fat company, let's say IBM, was way behind and was not able to innovate in that way and to be changing in that way. And I'm trying to remember, his name is Reed, I think. Reed Hastings. That's the guy from Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Ted Sarandis. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I remember reading about him that he went to, I think he's from this area, I can't remember, but he brought like 5 tapes back to Blockbuster where he had rented them, and he owed like $25 or $30, and he said, fuck this, you know.
There's got to be a better way.
Yeah, there's got to be a better way. I'm not going to do this anymore, you know, it's crazy. And you see how he his company evolved, where it was these discs, right? And then it was like starting to stream, and then stream. Then all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, we're going to produce shows. I mean, that's brilliant.
But it even went from like really bad disc to then really bad streaming. Like what the
all right,
awful.
The content. The streaming was terrible.
Don't be mean about this. Okay?
I'm not being mean. Just being
that's
honest.
Why the Quickster thing didn't work, because people had done the streaming and was like. First of all,
but it was all part of the deals that they have to work out.
Yeah, but that's part of the evolution.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
I remember Apple had their first portable machine. It was like the Mac portable. It was terrible. It was awful. And then, you know, you see how things have to, you know, develop. And, you know, you take a lot of criticism. I remember some years ago when Jobs, who was considered a failure, he had been ousted, when he was coming back to Apple, Michael Dell, was asked, you know, he was the king of Dell or whatever at the time, what do you think of Steve Jobs? What should he do? And Dell actually said, and you can find this on the internet, well, they should just close the company and give the money back to the stockholders. I mean, he actually said that, you know, just fuck the whole thing.
Well, John Sculley, who came from Pepsi.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. There's a guy who knew nothing. Nothing. In my opinion, the guy knew nothing.
He knew how to sell soda.
About technology. Nothing. And he's the guy who wanted Jobs out the door at Apple.
Yeah.
And now he's the guy who tries to rewrite history.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. He would never have
kicked Steve Jobs
out.
We were so close, you know.
Yeah.
God, he loved me, you know. And
no.
I inspired him. Yeah, yeah.
Bro.
Okay, keep talking shit, you know. So, by the way, that's a great story of your movie, The Social Network, of course. Which is like these guys sort of, the Winklevoss twins.
The Winklevoss twins,
how do I say it right?
Winklevoss.
Yeah. I've seen them around. They live in L.A. now.
Yeah, you know. You know what's funny about that? I've actually become friends with them.
No way.
Yes.
That's great. Really?
I've actually become friends with them.
Of course, Mark Zuckerberg's not a big fan of your film, wasn't he?
I was actually just up at Facebook. I got
he
invited.
He was on Saturday Night Live. He said he liked the movie.
Well, there's a bunch of different versions and history there, but I actually was invited to Facebook a couple weeks ago to do a video summit with all the video and content creators online. With Facebook, so it was kind of ironic as we had to go around the room and introduce ourselves of what we did and who we are.
You should emphasize 50 Shades, right? You don't want to talk about the social network.
It wasn't out then, so I didn't want to throw it out there.
House of Cards, yeah, yeah.
I definitely went with that, but I couldn't. The elephant was in the room.
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
I love that. Or you did that. You did the movie with that ship, right? The Captain
Phillips.
Captain, that was you also,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, that was a classic. That's a great one. Nice. I really enjoyed that. No, no, that you know that one. That was with Tom Hanks. Tom.
Yeah, no, I know. I had no idea what a pirate could use a good attorney. I had no idea what a fan you were.
Give him my card. All right.
Wow.
What? No, I don't know about this guy way back.
That's good.
I know his Star Wars movie. That's really asking for it, man.
That is. He came in here when we first sat down. When he first sat down. He said he knew fanboys. I'm like, wow. You know stuff.
I knew the story. I couldn't have made it up, right?
No,
I was
that,
like,
that,
some serious background
definitely
here.
Not. He's a Star Wars fan for sure.
So I think when you look at the way millennials and then the younger generations consume all different kinds of products, their expectations are different. And from their point of view, in terms of the internet and the smartphones, everything's so ubiquitous. My own child, who is 15, uses Uber. And to him, it's like, of course, that's always existed. That's perfectly normal. You know, he has no sense of, you know, even the fact that...
Have you used Uber?
Yes, it's great. It's fantastic.
Wait, can a 15-year-old use Uber?
Fuck yeah, man.
As long as he has a credit card registered,
well,
sure.
It's not his card.
That's awesome, man. If I had Uber when I was 15...
Can you imagine? No, seriously, he uses it all the time. I mean, it's totally normal. But I'm just saying, it's so, for him, it's so ubiquitous. And the fact, this is even more hilarious, that it has GPS. So when he punches Uber and they know where he is, that's obvious to him. To have to say the address, like when you call and they say, what's your phone number? And you go, you don't know my phone number, for Christ's sake? What am I calling you for, you know?
Right.
So the fact that the driver gets there, to him, it's just perfectly natural. And the fact that that didn't exist 2 years ago is unimaginable.
For most people, it didn't exist 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, people do not understand.
Netflix didn't exist 6 months ago to a lot of people.
That's true.
Yeah.
And well, even and for those who did, again, they were licking stamps and going down to the mailbox. they were not the idea that you could stream something in HD and watch it on TV.
Well, think about the non-video. When you talk about Amazon, which is where we bought CDs and we bought eventually groceries, right? Electronics, and they're streaming also, and they have original content. They're actually a movie production company or on some level, or television production shows. That's totally unique and new. And I think that law, and this is my side of things, has been very influenced by these developments. And you see how the traditional law firms don't exist the way that they used to. I mean, there used to be this thing, and I'm sure most people are familiar with this from, like, popular culture or whatever, like L.A. Law. You would, you know, join a firm out of law school. You'd work there. You'd become a junior partner. You'd work a few more years. You'd become an associate. I mean, this is not how it is anymore. That just doesn't exist. And the real lawyers that are successful today, if I, you know, may toot my own horn, Tom, and I learned this from you, by the way, Tom Likas taught me to toot horn. This is toot your
nothing
own
wrong
horn.
With that.
Who else is going to speak on your behalf?
Goddamn right. But no, but the entrepreneurial lawyer is the lawyer who's going to be successful today. Where, you know, you there are things you can't do. You know, people talk about ambulance chasers or whatever. And, you know, I'm not going to walk down the streets, you know, giving everyone who passes my card or whatever. Though I must say, when I see people getting arrested sometimes, I feel a twinge of guilt. Like, you know, when the cops have someone on the side of the road, I feel like slipping them a card, but I resist.
Why?
There you go.
You could have flown to Ferguson.
There's my dad.
You could have gone to Ferguson with a stack of business cards. I have business cards all the time.
I don't have one of these yet.
You have my business card? Come on. There you go.
There
you
go.
You can have my business card, for God's sake.
Actually, Tom, this is a little outdated. I don't even carry.
No, this is beautiful. It's laminated.
I don't carry business cards anymore.
I also pass my information along online, but for people who don't, I hand it out. That's it. Done.
I understand. But
you got to do that.
The thing I think that, you know, that I feel the most is how amorphous it is now, where you know, you called me last week and you said, hey Adam, I've got this problem with intellectual property or whatever, and you know, it's bothering me and whatever. And you know, a guy like you, obviously we know each other, but I would have someone like you give me, you know, $500 by PayPal, and then, you know, I get right on it, and then by the end of the day I've already taken care of it. You know, and that's the whole idea that we would meet at my office and sign a contract and sit there and bullshit about it for 3 hours. And then I have my research staff work on it. And then I call you 3 weeks later and, you know, I'm starting to work on it and I haven't really done anything yet. And it's, you know, because people always say how lawyers aren't effective in that way. I mean, I talk to people now and they call me in the morning. I filed the case within a few hours. I've served the ex-wife by the end of the day. And the next day we're in court on the first emergency motion, you know. Yeah, but that's really how it is now. That's how it has to be.
No, exactly.
And I'm taking the call. The original call was You know, the customer doesn't see this, but I was driving somewhere, going to something else, to a courthouse, and while he's telling me his credit card, I'm punching that into my phone, running it through PayPal to run the card or whatever.
I was going
to
say, you could do that from the golf course.
Well, yeah, that's how. This, again, that's the traditional. I'm not a golfer.
Adam's not a golfer.
I'm not either, but
yeah,
no, but it has to be. It has to have impacted you, and it isn't.
I couldn't do my job without.
But
technology.
Even like no, but I mean like even the editing tools, the film tools, right?
Yeah.
I mean the high definition cameras, right? And
as I was telling Tom earlier segment that. You could shoot a film and do the whole thing on your iPhone, edit it. You could shoot
really
it.
Well, Final Cut Pro,
post
right?
It and,
you don't fly in to look at the rushes, do you?
No, I have there's a system called Pix. I actually hardly have to go to set anymore for like House of Cards. I go, just to go in and wave the flag and show that I'm still there. But every day when I come into the office, it starts up on my television. My system comes in and starts the Pix. It's a system called Pix that runs everything.
Well, that used to be the dailies, and you're waiting to come back from the lab.
It would be
and all
3 days at the
at
the earliest, and then you got to go to a theater. Everyone would go together and sit and watch them.
Right.
And now I can get them on my phone. I can get them on my TV. I can get them wherever.
That's also, I think, much more flexible. Obviously, I don't mean, no criticism, but I mean, if something was going wrong, and you were doing the show, and it was like whatever, you might not notice for 3 days because you didn't get the dailies for several days.
Oh, 100%.
Here, it's much more interactive. Yeah. You can get on the phone, you're talking to the director, and you say, "Hey, man, I'm looking at the shit you did 2 hours ago. What the hell's wrong with so-and-so?
More importantly,
he looks
Adam,
sick, you know?
More importantly, no, somebody can't come in and say, I don't like that. I mean, any time you could circumvent that process where you get a bunch of people sitting in a dark room going, that stinks. I don't agree with that. You should add this person. Anytime you can avoid that, it's a winner.
You know what it is? It's always the most important person in the room. Whatever they say, everyone else then parrots that.
Of course they do.
Oh, no.
Of course they do.
Oh, I thought it was the wife of the most important person.
if she said that and she's there, then yeah.
I saw this thing, because you mentioned that you did this movie about Star Wars, and I'm a big Star Wars fan. And I saw this thing that George Lucas is a big hero of mine. Was talking about making Star Wars and that he showed some early cut of it. And, the studio expected it to be a complete flop. Mm-hmm. They had no confidence in it. And apparently one of the very top people, his wife, came over to Lucas after it, and she said, "I don't understand why Chewbacca," that's the Wookiee, mm-hmm. "how come he doesn't have pants on? He's naked, okay?" And the second thing is C-3PO, who's the robot who has like kind of a mouth that's just like an opening. "How come his jaw doesn't move when he talks? He just
has
this opening."
Doesn't have pants in them based on that.
Well, I don't think she got mad about that, but I guess you're right if you want to go that far. He had that metal, I don't know what the hell that was supposed to be, plastic
or something.
Well, Chewbacca
had to say, he was all one consistent thing.
No, but he didn't have pants on. This is
neither
just like,
C-3PO.
No, could you imagine that?
We're getting nerdy.
No, I know. I'm just saying that the fact that this imbecile, and she apparently, you had to listen to her because, she was high up enough.
Yeah.
Her, I don't know who exactly it was, but her husband was an executive at the studio, I suppose. And she's sitting there going, yeah, so. And Lucas is supposed to respond and say, "Oh, wow, ma'am, I guess you're right.
Right.
We'll start filming it with, Chewbacca pants or whatever," which would have been, obviously ridiculous.
This actually goes back to a movie I just did, and that film wasn't made for her demographic.
Right.
And as I said with Tom, 50 Shades of Grey wasn't made for his demographic.
Well, it was mommy porn, I suppose, so I don't know if it was the demographic.
By the way, it's working like a charm, what I'm reading here. Some chick was arrested for masturbating in the theater.
Stop.
Come on.
Well, if a woman's going to do that, we really
now
hit,
you know the movie
dirt.
Is working.
I thought that was Pee Wee Herman only.
A friend of mine dressed up in a suit and waited outside the theaters in New York as women came out. Baller
what roof. A guy.
Really?
Real smart. Come on, man.
I love
Live
that.
Live the fantasy.
That's the best.
No, it's good, but that dates to obviously when we talk about this too, we have this basically our demographic in terms of this show, and you try to be flexible, and Tom has gotten, especially the new normal, we've gotten connections and calls from all over the world,
mm-hmm.
very, very mixed, and people say, "Oh, it's all guys." No, we got tons of women, different age groups and so forth, but you have to overserve your customers. And, you know, I get calls from people in different demographics and so forth. And there's some trends happening where they talk about divorce that they call it the graying of divorce. So older people getting divorced and so forth. So that affects my work. But, you know, generally speaking, you have to look at who your customers are and you have to try to overserve them. That's the idea. I learned that from the Lycus man right there.
There we go. That's how it works.
So my small topic today, we're going to take a break in 1 minute?
We're going to have to take a break here. It's our point.
I'm going to say it, and then we'll take a break, and we'll get back to it.
By the way, you have calls coming in here, so I want to make sure you get them.
Okay, Dana threw me off, but I'm okay.
Oh, sorry about that.
Oh, it's his fault.
No, of course not. He's 100% welcome, of course. No, it's great. I'm really glad you're here. So what happened is, no, seriously, I wanted to talk about this. I got a lot of guys, real quick, Tom, who have at least one conviction, maybe in the past, and they never got it expunged. And they leave it and they forget about it. And then they get arrested again now, and they get screwed much worse because they're now second-time offenders.
Right.
So I want you to remember, I wanted to talk about this, and we'll get to the callers, to make sure if you have something in your past, definitely help me to help you to get it expunged.
How far back does that go?
Well, particularly with like a DUI, they can go about 7 years.
Okay.
Generally about 10 years. Right. But you got to remember.
I had one 20 years
you
ago.
You did not.
Yeah, I did. 20
really?
Years ago.
You badass. What happened to you? 20 years ago, really?
Yeah, it was 20 years ago. Right. Long Island.
Long Island, geez. Yeah. That's where Tom and I are from. Tom, you didn't tell me this is a Long Island guy.
Really? I had no idea.
What's the Long Island connection?
I was on the Coast Guard at Jones Beach.
Oh, jeez. This is really giving me a stroke. Well, I'm from Plainview in Huntington.
Yeah,
I went to St. John's University Law School and Stony Brook. And this badass over here.
I dated a girl that went to Stony Brook. Maybe I recognize you.
Yeah, saw you there. And this badass over here is from St. James, as I recall.
No, Selden. I live south of Stony Brook. Yeah. My sister went to Stony Brook.
Unbelievable.
SUNY Stony Brook.
Well, so generally speaking.
So, but 20 years ago, I'm good.
20, you're going to be okay. Right. I've got guys that, you know, made a transgression. It doesn't have to be a DUI, but they have something that's sitting around and they say, big mistake. What can you do? They try to forget about it. But what ends up happening is they reoffend again in a small way and now they're facing jail. And it's very upsetting, very disruptive. And it could have been avoided because I could have killed the first one. So those guys out there who've done something and you paid your debt to society, you did your probation in the past, you know, let's say 5 years or 8 years, it's really, really good advice to spend. I don't charge a lot for it, less than $1,000 and get it expunged. Okay, T.
There we go. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. We have calls coming in.
All right.
And if you've got questions. Criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs is here in studio. He will answer your questions. And all you have to do is call this number right now, 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM to talk to Adam Sachs right now. It's 901-3000-866.
Serving the universe from an old laundromat in Burbank. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Hey, P1s, our show and our company, The New Normal, are one big experiment. And whether we continue into the future depends on whether we can generate enough revenue to pay our guys and our various expenses. One painless way you can help to guarantee that we'll be here is to use the Amazon.com link at blowmeuptom.com or on our Facebook page. Now, we don't ask you to buy anything you don't want or need. By clicking on our Amazon link, you'll get the same low Amazon prices you always get. And Amazon will look exactly the same to you. But the new normal gets credit every time you visit Amazon through our link. By using the Amazon link at blowmeuptom.com, you can get computers, electronics, games, clothing, just about anything. Even groceries at ridiculously low prices. And the revenue we get from Amazon helps us to keep the number of commercials to a reasonable level. Do it while you're thinking about it. Go to blowmeuptom.com or the Tom Likas Show Facebook page and click on our Amazon links to do your Amazon shopping. And pass our link along to your friends. The Amazon.com link from blowmeuptom.com.
New normal rock. Newer, faster, harder rock. 24-7. Listen now or we'll pee on your rug. They pee on your fucking rug. Pee on my fucking rug. Find us at newnormalrock.com and ask like TuneIn. They peed on your fucking rug. No ballots, no broads, no bullshit.
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude, man.
Don't make us pee on your rug. New normal rock.
Foco Liz is back. with brand new additions to the FOCO clothing line at FOCOU-FOCOME.com. T-shirts, tops, tanks, and accessories for both guys and chicks, all designed by Liz and made with high-quality material. Grab yourself a classic tee in sizes small to double XL. Or check out the accessories, including wristbands, hats, bags, and more, for you or to give as a gift. It's all FOCO, and it's all at the right price. Show your support for an original P1 who has not only supported the show for years, but has fed the content kitty with those gems you'll never forget. Show her some love at FOCOU-FOCOME.com today. It's the complete line of everything FOCO, but the ceviche, of course, at FOCOU-FOCOME.com.
Hammer time!
The Tom Likas Show from the New Global Studios in Burbank. And we are here with attorney Adam Sachs. Producer Dana Brunetti is here in studio. And we got phone calls. We got lots of phone calls. Oh, we got some fascinating stuff coming up here.
Oh, dear.
You are going to be blown away. And let's start with Jeff in Los Angeles. Jeff, you're on the Tom Likas Show, and you're here with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Hey,
great.
Jeff.
I just had a question about getting something expunged. Years ago, I was arrested. I was arrested 9 years ago for impersonating a peace officer when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
And
holy shit.
I settled for a plea agreement, but they charged me with a misdemeanor.
Okay.
And I never got it expunged.
Okay.
Wait, can I ask what you were doing?
Were you patting someone down?
I was a kid, and we noticed that there was some trouble outside of a gas station. So we went up there and was like, what was going
Freeze!
On? And there was this white blonde girl who was young, around my age
oh,
at the time.
Oh, there you go.
Screaming, saying, don't effing worry about it. Leave, mind your own business. And me and my buddies, I pulled a wallet, and I had my grandfather's U.S. Navy badge.
Oh, shit.
And I flashed it and just said, why don't you go wait inside until the sheriff arrives?
Nice.
And I asked the lady that she was harassing, did you call the cops? And she said, yes, they're on their way. I said, okay, just wait inside and everything
then
will be fine.
Why didn't you get the hell out of Dodge, man? What'd you stick around for?
I did. I left, went to Vegas, everything was fine. I come back home.
To Vegas.
Go to the same gas station to
That's
fill
the
up.
Solution to so many
That is the answer. See, you should have stayed in Vegas. That would have been it.
So I go to the same gas station to
you
fill up my tank.
You see how
inside.
The criminal always returns to the scene of the crime. You see that?
Always returns.
Unbelievable.
I come up, and this girl says, we're not going to serve you. And I said, who are you to tell me you're not going to serve me? And she goes, I'm the manager's daughter.
Oh, dear.
So as soon as I knew she was the manager's daughter, I went outside, and there what happens with the cop at a Starbucks. It's a local town. I don't want to say where specifically, but it's a local town, the San Bernardino County area. And I went to the officer. I explained the story. He said, we do get complaints from, you know, from her from time to time. We'll check into it. They walk over, come back, said, they said that you pushed her and threatened to handcuff her.
Oh, God. No, we're talking about handcuffs
now,
aren't we?
And I consented to a search.
Okay. And then what happened?
Why did you consent to a search? Christ's sake.
Because I didn't know who you were when I was 18 years old. I'm sorry.
Didn't you watch any television at all? They say, do not speak, you know, right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will. Come on. Everyone knows that. Consented to a search. Okay.
Because when you feel like you're an innocent person,
yeah, right.
You think you're in the right.
Right.
And
that's not how they get
the rookie mistake.
That's not how a cop looks
it
at
was
you,
a mistake.
You know? Okay. Here's the deal.
Nine years ago.
One second. I had an actual case of a guy who got cut off by somebody, and somehow he had flashing lights, and he put them on his dashboard and pulled the guy over. Okay.
Tom.
Right.
Anyway, the same exact thing.
I wish
thing.
I'd thought of it.
That's a good one, huh? It's a very
well,
serious
offense.
Well,
they didn't really have a case, but
I understand.
As my lawyer said, my lawyer said, well, I had to hire a lawyer for my family, and what the guy said was, the badge is not illegal. You didn't say you were an officer, but you have a knife and you have a CD radio. When it put it together, it looks like you're a cop.
Okay, I understand. I think I would afford it, but
so
the bottom.
I did a plea agreement and okay. 2 years probation.
You know that when the terrorists attack, like you know, they wear the uniform of like the Iraqi Air Force or whatever, so like they're like mislabeled. It confuses people, and you know, because then you're mm-hmm. not gonna you don't plan to shoot at them because you misidentify who they are. And the danger of you pretending to be a cop is obviously that civilians are not going to understand or whatever. But I mean, I would afford it. Doesn't matter. Like you said, 9 years ago. Here's the deal. Who are you? Are you someone who installs roofs? You don't care. Or are you someone who's going to need a security clearance? Are you going to need to be bonded by a bank? Are you in some kind of a high-profile job of any kind where they're going to do a check on you and they're going to find this? And if this is something that you did years ago, it's going to be in the computer and it's going to be there forever. Okay?
Right.
So if you want to be a lawyer, you want to be a real estate broker, you want to get any kind of state license, you want to work in any kind of occupation that's going to do a background check, which is any kind of corporate job or whatever, I mean, like I said, I charge a pretty reasonable amount. You don't have to go to court. I take care of this completely on my own. And it's a beautiful thing. I've had a lot of people cry. I mean, they're so happy when I do it for them because it's like, you know, being sort of cleansed. It's like, you know, getting dunked in the water by Jesus. You know, you're clean and pure again, like a virgin.
Is that what it's like?
Absolutely.
I had no idea.
You'll go for that, right, Tom?
Really?
Give me one of those.
Oh, yeah.
No, but I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And you, obviously, you've carried this with you, right? You're a little guilty about it, right? I mean, you don't. Obviously, you're embarrassed. It's not something you want to talk about. And here, I can get it expunged, and it's gone. And literally, it reverses what you did. So you took a plea or whatever. It actually cancels your plea, and as it's as though it had never happened. That's a good thing.
So my final question, I think everyone always has this question when it comes to getting something expunged. Is that a true deletion? Like, where is
yes,
it exactly
it's
hidden
gone.
From?
It's destroyed. It literally, if they say to you, have you ever been convicted of a crime, you can say no because your conviction was trashed. Quashed.
And by the way, this is good for you. Like me, I'm a public figure, and guess what? I went to jail once. I could have an expunge. It's on the smoking gun. It's never going away. It's always going to be there. It's going to go away forever.
Oh, you man. Can't expunge from the smoking gun?
I don't know.
No, I wish you
they
could.
They love it, man. They got him on there.
If you could, I would. Oh, I'm there in all my glory.
Like an internet archives.
I mean, it's never going away. And you know what, Adam? I'd have you expunge, except what's the point? It's on 80 billion places on the internet that I was arrested in 1993. Okay,
we'll never hear the end of it.
Jesus!
I remember when some of the people were attacking the advertisers. I got an email and they said, "Do you know that your guy was arrested for domestic violence?"
Everybody knows.
I wrote back, "What?
No
but
surprise.
25 years ago, for God's sake!
Is never convicted of anything, but hey." What are you going to do?
Yeah, never convicted.
So, Jeff, you don't have to worry about it like I do. You can get expunged for good.
Yeah, you're low profile.
Yeah, I'm pretty
enough,
clear
Jeff.
From Google searches. That's
me,
for sure.
I have to live with it for the rest of my life.
The price is celebrity.
And am I ashamed? Ooh.
Ooh. I know, considering
thank
the things
you,
you've bared
so
for the audience, Tom, it's no big deal.
I'm going to put you on with Dane. He's going to hook you up with Adam,
thanks,
and then you're going to
get
this deal done, for God's sake.
All
right. 901-3000, Tom, is our telephone number. More of your telephone calls are coming up.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000, Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Boys, I've been encouraging you for years. Using the services of a professional to help you navigate some of the more difficult times in life can be invaluable. It has been for me, and it's great to hear that so many of you have been taking back control with the help of our friend Paul Beatty at Sydney Counselors. Paul has years of experience helping guys who suffer from severe crisis, suicidal tendencies, and more. He studied a range of approaches and can tailor sessions based on what works for you. Now, this is one-on-one counseling designed to address issues head-on and help you get back on track. Paul's focus is to help men find their own way through many common issues alcohol and other addictions, depression, self-esteem, coping with crisis, and managing anxiety and stress, even getting over relationships. Now, if you're in Sydney, you can meet for face-to-face counseling at Paul's office in North Sydney. Or, if you're anywhere else in the world, you can meet with Paul via Skype or phone from the comfort of your own home. Visit Sydney Counselors at supportforguys.com. Go there now, supportforguys.com, and take back control today.
On this episode of Swamp Stupid, Gary loses a leg while trying to outrun a gator wearing a pair of gay leather sandals that begin to disintegrate into little pieces. And shit gets crazy. They ain't just stupid. They're Swamp Stupid. Go to GaryAndDino.com.
Devin Bronson is back with us. We're going to talk a little bit about the black box. And I've got to tell you, I own a black box, have it at home, use it at the ranch regularly. We've got a black box in studio. All the guys have one. We all love it. But what's interesting about the black box is you don't have to use it at home. You can take it on the road with you as well.
Absolutely. This is the rock and roll portable audio system, so it's not only used at home. It can be used in your car. It comes with a 12-volt adapter, so you can power it, take it to tailgates, at concerts, take it in an RV when you go camping, anywhere you want to listen to music.
Now, this is not made like one of those iPhone docking stations, all plastic, lousy sound. It's a big, booming device.
Plastic audio docks always break and they always distort, for me at least, and I hated that about those. So I wanted to make something that was different, make it out of wood, make it out of metal, durable, have a next to nothing distortion ratio when you crank it all the way up.
Now, how can someone get a black box?
You can go to our website. It's bnaudio.com and enter promo code Tom in their checkout and get 20% off.
That's bnaudio.com. Mention the promo code Tom and get 20% off. You are going to love the black box.
Hammer time.
Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank, 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number, 901-3000-TOM. We are here with attorney Adam Sachs at 901-3000-866. Now, before we run out of time here, Adam, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can always call me toll-free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check out my website, www.adamlawyer.com. And I love email. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
Let's say hi to Fernando in Fresno. You're on the Tom Likas Show. Fernando, hello.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, hi.
Adam.
Hey, Fernando, what's up?
I just had a quick question. This past Friday, I was driving home from work, and I got pulled over for speeding. It was a routine stop, you know, your license registration.
Right.
And he pulled me over for speeding. So he gave me a ticket. I was going 75 on a 55 country road. It was lonely at the time.
Right.
And he gave me a ticket. So my question was, should I attempt to fight it with a lawyer or by myself, or should I just pay the fee and be done with it?
Well, that's a philosophical question, obviously. You know, you have to also look at who you are and what your circumstances are. First of all, I would not fight it by myself, that's for sure. If you're going to fight it, you should use a lawyer. And Tom, how has that been for you?
We've had 100% success rate.
Tom's had several tickets, and I've taken care of all of them and gotten them dismissed. You need to ask yourself, I mean, I don't know your circumstances exactly, but I mean, first of all, if anyone is a commercial driver, they should fight tickets because they don't have the ability to do traffic school, and it can really harm their work license, obviously. I don't know your situation. This is your first ticket in a very long time. If you just want to take the deal, okay, you can just, you know, plead guilty, pay the fine, and go to traffic school. That's not so bad. You know, the problem is having used that up, you can't do it again for a year and a half. But broadly speaking, the people that work in some kind of business related to driving, or if they're driving children or something, or their company expects them as salesmen to drive, you know, having a ticket, or especially having a more serious thing than speeding, something like a DUI, is very, very serious. And, you know, we pay a lot of taxes to the county and the state, and I don't like to pay extra. And basically tickets, if you look at them, are a tax. And when you look at the cottage industry, where not only the ticket, but court fees, and then you're paying for traffic school, and then you're paying administrative fees, and I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. Then your insurance can go up and so forth. You get points on your license. I really think it's nice to stick it to the man and to fight them. And I'm very good at it, and I'd be happy to help you do it. You have to ask yourself, you know, do you care if you have these things or not? Does it matter? Is it going to affect your job or yourself? And, you know, make your decision on that basis.
So, on my situation, it doesn't affect me at all, but like you said, I like to stick it to the mat sometimes.
I couldn't agree more. It is such a pleasure to go in, and I'm telling you, I'm sitting there, and you see a line of people, guilty, 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 and then I come in, and the cop is like, duh, 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 and we get it dismissed.
So we can, because I was obviously speeding.
There are so many factors involved in the way that they knew, they paced you, or they used radar, and how experienced was the cop, and did he have the machine calibrated, and there are so many things that go on. So people say, oh, you know, he's got me cold. Well, not necessarily. There are definitely things that can be done, and that's my speciality. So if you want to fight it, like I said, I can't, you know, I can't promise an outcome that would be illegal, but I've been very, very good at it. I've done it for a lot of people, and I've done it for friends. Obviously, I've done it for Tom, and you know, it's really, I think it's really unbelievable that for a speeding ticket, you know, you're going to pay the county what, $400 or $500? I mean, give me a break. It's like a major source of revenue for them. Fuck them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's it.
That was my question, yeah.
All right, I hope that's I've good. Thank you, Fernando. Appreciate the call. John in Los Angeles, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, Tom. Congrats on another year.
Thank you.
Adam, right. I have a difficult question, I think. My simple question is, how difficult is it to overturn a power of attorney for finances and for health care?
Okay.
I'll give you a quick rundown.
That's not so bad. Okay.
There's a 94-year-old woman who is in the hospital in the state of dementia. The granddaughter has complete control over everything.
Oh, I see.
She pulled out a power of attorney that was signed in 2012 December that no one knew about. And the 95-year-old grandmother doesn't read English, doesn't speak English that well, but everything's written in kind of like homemade typed.
Okay.
So I don't know if that could be overturned, and it also looks like it was forged.
All right. Well, you're saying a couple of different things. I understand. You know, these what you're talking about, I believe, is a healthcare power of attorney, and that's a very specific kind. And there's also the financial ones, but the healthcare one enables a person, you know, it's usually a spouse or a child of the person, or so forth, to make healthcare decisions when they're no longer able to. Now, you're talking about a couple of different things. First of all, if that document that you're talking about is fraudulent, or it seems to be fraudulent, it's obviously very suspicious. If the person doesn't speak the language that it's written in, and, you know, if the notary doesn't exist, and no one knew about it, and it sort of popped out of nowhere and had never been discussed or whatever, so that's a whole thing that needs to be explored. Generally speaking, what you might want to do is get a guardianship over this elderly person. Now, you know, there's a big problem, which is that all of us get old and we're all going to get sick at some point and die. And it's something that people don't like to think about and people don't like to talk about. And so they don't plan for it. And I see many, many cases where someone is actually, you know, still pretty pretty aware, but they know they're going to die in 6 months or a year. Some doctor has told them this. And they still resist making these healthcare plans. They resist making a will. They resist telling people what they want or where they want their children to be raised or whatever, by who. And it's very painful for the families. It's awful. And you see these people that die. They've shown this now, for example, with Casey Kasem, if you remember, the radio personality.
Right.
Big controversy among the ex-wife and the children and the first wife and the current wife. And I think there's something going on like that with the actor Robin Williams, who died lately. you know, it's really a shame. And, you know, if you want to go and try to help this woman you're talking about, there's going to be factions in the family that say, you know, that you're not doing what she should, what she really wanted. And then there are going to be other people that say that you are doing what she wanted. And then there's, you know, people take sides. And these court battles are very, very difficult. And you'd have
to
be prepared.
That's exactly what's going on.
Well, then I can help you, but you've got to be prepared to spend some serious coin on this because these are very, very nasty
fights. We're looking
at
about $5,000 to $10,000 to start, right?
Well, yeah, I'd say so, probably. But, I mean, these fights can be very quick if no one resists. But if you have this, you know, niece or whatever that really wants to fight, it can get super nasty. And leave the healthcare stuff. When you talk about
the
states.
She doesn't want to relinquish
control. No, I understand that. That they usually wouldn't. But listen to me a second. When you talk about the estate, if this person has life insurance or she has equity in things, she owns a house or stocks, and she's worth a couple of $1 million, you would not believe how families fight over the money and who's going to get the things.
Yeah, well, that's understandable, but there is no financial gain here on either side.
Okay. Well, that might make the fight a little less severe. You know, when someone has dementia, you know, that's horrible, and it's very difficult for relatives. And, you know, there's this thing they used to talk about, you know, pulling the plug or whatever. But you see how people in different religious backgrounds and different cultural backgrounds, you know, they're told. You saw Whitney Houston's daughter who drowned, and they're being told, look, she's brain dead, her organs are failing. And people say, no, no, there's still hope, you know, leave the machines on, whatever. And, you know, there's a whole fight among that. The healthcare proxy that you're talking about, where you have this power of attorney, can actually be a very positive thing, where people are able to, you know, make decisions, and it's just up to one person to make the decision. So,
I agree.
You know, on some level, maybe they tried to do this. If it was procured by fraud, then obviously it should be set aside. But on the other hand, if you just have this lady who's in her 90s wasting away for years and years in a demented state, that's kind of sad also. Maybe she didn't want to live like that.
Right. Well, you pretty much confirmed what my thoughts were. And it does seem like a difficult fight. And I just want to thank you for your time and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Here is Rick in Sherman Oaks. Rick, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. I don't quite have a divorce question or anything like that. But I have a legal question in the sense that I actually was just offered a work contract. I'm an independent contractor. It's not giant dollars, but it's, you know, it's good pay for now to start. It's kind of basically, I have a year on this. Let's see what you can do, and if you can do better, we'll talk again in the future about raising it. But
that sounds good.
In that process, I don't have an agent. I don't have anybody handling this. It's pretty much me doing it on my own. And I know you guys have talked about the importance of having lawyers or somebody else look over a contract. Now, for a contract that's basically at its base about $50,000 a year, with the possibility, depending on the amount of appearances, being more, is it worth going to a lawyer? Because I know the basic terms of it.
I understand.
It's just some of the legal jargon in the middle. That,
well, obviously, you know, it's important. It's going to affect your life in a lot of ways. If you recall, Tom talked about this in the past couple of weeks, that early on in his career, he didn't have a manager. He was just, you know, doing things, kind of managing his own career. And then, obviously, as he progressed, he got a manager, and that was very important and influential for him. You know, if you are reading this contract and it's relatively simple, you know the story. You're saying now that you're reading it and it's hard to understand and there are things that you don't understand about it. That's your intelligence telling you that you need help. You've reached the peak of how far you can go. And so, you know, why not spend a few hundred dollars, honestly a few hundred dollars, and have a lawyer read it over once or twice? Why not? That's a good investment. I mean, if you're giving something up that's very significant, or you're supposed to get a bump up in salary from 50 to 100 to 150, and for some screwy reason they put some stuff in there that might prevent that from happening, you know, that could cost you a lot of money. So just protecting your own interests, why not spend, honestly, seriously, $500 and have a lawyer look at it? It seems like a good investment.
I guess the only thing I was thinking is, like, the representative from the company and I pretty much went over the terms, and I asked a bunch of questions and got everything. I guess it's just I'm reading it page to page. It's like a 19-page contract.
Yeah.
And as I'm going
19 pages. Come on.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, it gets a little wordy in there.
No, the other thing is he's not really your friend, you know? So we were teasing about it, but that gentleman who was just on was the producer of the movie The Social Network. Did you ever see that film?
I have, yeah.
You'll remember there's a scene where they're giving the original founder, Eduardo Severin, who's a real person, but in the movie they're giving him shares in the new Facebook, and he kind of reads it and signs it, and it turns out that they've screwed him. And they diluted his ownership from something like, you know, 12% of the company to less than a fraction of a percent. And so, okay. I mean, you know, that was, you know, millions and millions of dollars, obviously. So, you know, when you look at this contract, you know, this guy who's going over with you, he's, you know, he's not necessarily your enemy, but he's not exactly your friend. He's not necessarily looking out for you. And this is going to have an impact on your life, and this is something that matters to you. You know, you don't want to be kicking yourself a few years from now and saying, you know, I shouldn't have signed it. I got screwed.
So yeah, so there you go. Is there a particular avenue you'd go, like an entertainment lawyer, or is there a different...
Sure. Well, someone like me who does a few different things, or you could find, like, you know, as you say, some kind of employment or entertainment lawyer. But in all seriousness, I mean, I wouldn't mind looking at it. You know, I wouldn't charge you, you know, very much to do it. And we could go over it over the phone, you know, no big drama. And if that helps you, that's, you know, obviously very important.
Yeah.
Maybe I catch something and I'm like, oh my God, this is really bad, and you have to, like, yeah, renegotiate part of it or cross that part out or something.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great idea, that. So I can, I'll definitely have to do that.
All right, Rick, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Juan in Long Beach, you're on the Tom Likas show. Hello.
Hey, Adam, Tom.
Love hey, Juan, what's going on?
Not much. Just have another expungement question.
Okay.
You know, I've been a good boy for the most part of my life. However, you know, I'm proud of a few things that I did. However, if you do get an expungement and you go and apply for something, and you know how there's a little question, have
right.
you ever been convicted of anything, or has
right.
anything been expunged, then what?
Yeah, that's a very important question. There is a complication. When you talk about, particularly with the government, let's say, where you're going for security clearances, like if you're going to work for the FBI or the CIA or something really high level like that, when I apply as a new lawyer to the bar, they ask you these questions also, and they say, have you ever been arrested? Now, I'm sorry, have you ever been arrested? True, but have you ever been convicted? That's the big one. Now, in all seriousness, I know it sounds bizarre and crazy, but when you are doing an expungement, you're literally turning back the clock, and you're going back to the day that you pled guilty or were found guilty by a jury or a judge, and you're undoing that. And so when they say, have you ever been convicted, you can actually say no. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've always told guys, and they talk to me about this, and they say, I'm going for my dream job at Paramount Studios or whatever, with the Human Resource Department. I think, generally speaking, it is probably best to have candor and not to lie. You don't want them to find something. So you tell them, look, you know, when I was young, I screwed up, I got arrested, I got so-and-so back in, you know, the 1980s or whatever, and I had it expunged. And so... When you ask me, have I ever been convicted of a crime, I'm answering no, because my conviction was expunged. And I think that's the proper answer. And this way, they know that it was something and that it was undone. I think to not mention it at all and to play a game with the potential employer and say, ooh, I've never been convicted, when actually, technically, you were... is a mistake. I think it's probably better, you know, if you want to, when I finish it, I get you a certificate that shows it's been expunged and so forth. Maybe you include that and you show, look, this is my conviction here. It's been expunged, so I'm not convicted of any crimes in my past.
I see. So let's say you have like a few convictions that when it gets expunged, is it everything or is it each incident?
No, if you have more than one, it sounds like you had a colorful past here.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they were at the same time or whatever, they need to be done individually. And by the way, I had one guy last year. He was a Tom Likas show guy, P1 and so forth. And he had six, and they were in different counties. And he just stuck with me, and I did them one by one, and I got all six of them expunged. So it can be done. You can literally start again and wipe yourself clean from the past. Just in your case, if you have a few of them, you might have a little more to deal with and to focus on and, you know, finish up with.
Thanks a lot for the call, Juan. We have time for one more. We're going to take one more.
Right.
It's Bruce in Inglewatt. Bruce, you're on the Tom Likas show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Adam Sachs, always good to hear you. I love this segment, man. That's my favorite segment of the entire week. Adam,
oh,
I have
thanks,
a question
Bruce.
For you. We know that Tom got a ticket, or a couple of them, whatever, up near the New Normal North Ranch, whatever it's called. But
badass,
but anyway,
Tom.
I want to ask you, is there something you can ask? Isn't there something when you get the ticket before the officer hands it to you or sign it or whatever it is that you can ask for a change in venue or something you can ask? Isn't there that you could have gotten it moved to Los Angeles or something?
No, not really. You know, believe it or not, and this may be even more so in Santa Barbara, but, you know, these counties, especially some of the small ones, they really depend on the revenue from tickets. And you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars every year. So they're not transferring shit. I don't know what you're talking about. There's no way.
So there's nothing that would have you know, you could have traveled not way up to his ranch to do this, but to another place locally to do it or something. You had to travel way up there.
I went to this very small courthouse, and I could maybe have had it transferred like to the main courthouse of Santa Barbara. But generally speaking, it stays in the county. There are some instances of, like, extraordinary hardship. What you're thinking about, I think, maybe is, like, divorce. You know, if you have a divorce case in L.A. and you move to San Diego and the other parties move also, you can transfer the case to San Diego because that's, you know, the more appropriate venue and so forth. But, you know, when the police pull you over, generally speaking, I've always said try to cooperate. Sometimes you can apologize, tell the officer, I'm really sorry, can you give me a break? Sometimes they'll let it slide. One of the things you can do with a speeding ticket is if it's radar, you can ask to see the radar machine, which is like kind of a handheld gun, or sometimes it's in the car, and the policeman actually, believe it or not, is supposed to show it to you if you ask. So that's an interesting little side bit. But right there in the side of the road, you start saying to the officer, you know, I don't want to go to Solvang. Can you transfer it to Ventura or whatever? I don't think that's in the cards. I really don't.
No, it's okay. So there's nothing. I read something a long time. I forgot what it was, but something about you could ask for some sort of a change in a venue or some sort of magic word you say or something.
I don't know. If you want to find that, let me see it. It's something I haven't heard of yet. And it's not that I know everything, so it's possible, but that's well beyond my experience.
Yeah, I'll check into it. If I find something, I'll give you a call back.
Cool.
All right, Bruce. Thank you so much. All right. Once again, how can people get in touch with you?
We're going to get your case out of Solvang there, Tom.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was really possible.
My case is done. I'm not even thinking about it.
Did you get the money back, by the way?
No.
Not yet, huh?
Not yet.
So how long has it been?
I have to go back and look at the transaction. I don't know.
It's interesting, you know, when the ticket is paid, the due date is, you know, a pretty hard wall, you know, and if you're a day late, they're really, you know, screw you with it. They double it and triple it, but when the ticket has been, you know, you have to pay it first, which is essentially posting the bail, and then when I win the case, you get your money back. But it's amazing how long it takes, how long the county takes to write the check. I've seen people wait 6 months. It's unbelievable. So they're very quick to take it and very reluctant to return it, apparently.
No doubt about it.
Anyways.
How do people get in touch with you?
Sure. I'm at toll-free, 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And my website is www.adamlawyer.com. And you can email me at adam@adamlawyer.com.
If you are listening to the show as a replay or course on our on-demand library, you can hear Adam live and call in live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
So, how do you like our
little internet project
now? 901-3000 Tom. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
F you dinosaurs.
Brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com. Click on the Beer Magazine banner. Get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the now fully digital magazine devoted to beer. It's
Wapalicious.
Beer Magazine. The English dude who we reported tried to fuck a mailbox is now dead.
Oh, no.
Found dead behind a Chinese restaurant.
I hope it didn't have anything to do with the Chinese restaurant.
No shit.
Because
Mugu Gai Pan.
Egg Foo Young is delicious.
The body of Paul Bennett, 45 years old, was discovered behind a Chinese restaurant in the early hours Sunday morning. Mm. Police are treating his death as suspicious, but believe that it may have been drug-related.
Oh, man. So the mailbox fucking didn't really get him. It was the Chinese restaurant and some drugs.
Yes. As reported here on News for Guys, Bennett had been spotted rubbing himself against a mailbox with his pants down before raising his arms in a star position and shouting, wow, as he was fucking the mailbox.
He pled guilty to two charges of indecent exposure as well as using threatening and abusive words and abusive behavior.
Yes.
But it's sad to report that our friend Paul Bennett is dead and not from fucking a mailbox.
D-E-D dead.
Gone.
Nope.
Peace out, Paul.
Cool, how you going?
Not that, Paul. Although he is
different
from England.
Also bald.
Also bald.
Hey, Alaska became the latest state to legalize weed. Yeah, that's the good news. The bad news, you got to go to Alaska to smoke weed.
Yeah, that's true.
Legally. It's a terrible fucking thing right there.
Yeah, but the good news is that the more states sign on to this weed smoking, the better.
Right.
So congratulations, Alaska, for getting their shit together, and they are the latest state to legalize weed.
Alaska.
Well, they got to deal with it in some way. Plus, they got a lot of cash up there. Not a lot of girls, a lot of cash.
Where weed is legal and chicks have mustaches.
Right. Oh, man.
Apparently, lots of young women now flocking to witchcraft.
Yeah.
And ISIS, too, by the way. Throw that
in
there.
That's true. ISIS.
And witchcraft.
So young women are attracted to the ancient craft of witchcraft.
Mm.
And they are putting together potions to get fame and fortune in a dude.
Come on. What are you talking about? This is just stupid.
I don't know why young girls are running to ISIS, or I don't know why they're running to join a coven. I have no idea, but they are
Harry
joining.
Harry Potter shit. Are these they came up on Harry Potter or something?
I guess. But they're flocking to witchcraft. That's all you need to know.
In South Carolina, a teenage girl arrested on charges of criminal sexual conduct with a minor. Apparently, she took a video of some sort of sex she was having with a toddler.
Oh, my God.
Sent it to a friend, and of course, the friend posted it immediately on Facebook.
Because that's the first place. So the friend should be in trouble, too, for posting child pornography.
A 14-year-old girl having sex with a toddler.
A lot of weird stuff goes on in Orangeburg County.
Apparently so.
Orangeburg County, South Carolina. Good times.
Right.
Good times.
What's going on with your friend Steven Jackson, NBA's Steven Jackson?
Steven Jackson.
Apparently still banging his now estranged wife, so
right.
He's calling off the divorce. It's one of those like makeup sex kind of things, I think. And now he's saying, I don't want to divorce her.
Yeah, Jackson approached the judge and told the judge not to grant his wife a divorce because...
I'm still banging her.
Yeah, I'm still banging her. They're very much a couple.
Finally, a pig alert for you. It's Behati Prinsloo. This, of course, is your boy's girl here.
What
the hell is
his name?
Adam
Levine?
Adam Michael Sachs? No, Adam Levine.
Adam Levine.
They look similar.
And they act similar.
At a quick glance, you would think, that is the Hebrew Hammer. And then you're like, no, wait a minute, that's Adam Levine.
Exactly.
I'm watching The Voice.
And the only way you know the difference is because Adam the Sachs wouldn't get married like Adam Levine did.
Yeah. Not quite getting this whole thing and of him, you know, of him marrying Prinsloo. Because he could have any broad in the world.
No, he
could have them all at one time.
He could have them all.
But the two of them at an Oscar party, and she gets a little... Can we designate between a nip slip and an areola slip, please? I mean, this is not a nip slip. This is a little areola.
Call it what you will.
That's what I'm going to call it.
Call it what you will. To me...
She makes me want to go bang a mailbox.
Makes me want to go do drugs behind a Chinese joint.
That wouldn't be the first time.
Oh.
You trying to do coke lines with chopsticks.
That's right. That's what made CD Cave's cover so fucking handy.
Plenty more news for guys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out the podcast. GaryandDino.com is where you find it. There's a brand new show every single Friday. It's GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
Okay, boys, let's talk about step-ups. That's step-ups, top-quality insoles. Now, as you know, chicks bring so many deceiving tactics to the game, it's ridiculous. Fake knockers, nails, eyelashes, hair color. How about high heels? Women are never the height they appear to be. Well, now it's your turn to even the playing field, and that's where step-ups come in. With step-ups, anyone, even you, can be 2 inches taller instantly. Thanks to revolutionary technology, step-ups fit perfectly inside your shoe, and no one will ever know they're there. And while wearing step-ups, you can do anything you normally do. Get them now for the ridiculously low price of $21.95. And not only that, for a limited time only, enter coupon code TOM101 and get free lifetime replacement on your step-ups. Did you hear that? Lifetime replacement for Tom Likas Show listeners only. Plus, they'll throw in a free upgrade to priority shipping. Go to step-ups.com for a unique, ultra-comfortable walking on air experience. Life is short. You don't have to be. Get step-ups today.
This is the new normal.
That doesn't make sense.